Now you can save on Cox Internet by adding Cox Mobile, so you can do everything you want, everywhere you want. Stream the big game with fiber-powered speeds at home, or capture it courtside on your phone with unbeatable 5G reliability on the go, so you can do more without spending more. Save on Cox Internet when you add Cox Mobile. Learn more at cox.com/internet. Not all services and features available everywhere. Other restrictions apply. Now you'll save on Cox Internet when you add Cox Mobile. Enjoy fast speeds at home and on the go, so you can do more without spending more. Learn more at cox.com/internet. Not all services and features available everywhere. Other restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have him back on, Josh Miller. He is the host of the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals Show. It's a podcast that looks at all things related to the Cincinnati Bengals. On the program, we discuss the season-ending injury to Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow. Also, we look ahead to the Bengals Week 12 matchup against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And also, we ask Josh about Thanksgiving in Cincinnati. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
To the outside. Reaching down, making the grab, and taking it to the end zone.
Looks like they're attacking these linebackers, which we did the same thing here with Boyd to the linebacker, Roquan Smith. Slows him down just enough for Joe Burrow to, again, find that matchup. The back against the linebacker.
Right hand looked like a sleeve or whatever. Something was going on. They took it down, but clearly you've got some sort of an issue here, and we'll get to the bottom of it eventually.
Not only that, this is the play before where Clowney hits him and drives him to the ground.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, you work so hard for seasons and moments like these, so whenever you get hurt and it ends it early, it's tough to handle, but you know, that's part of the game. Been through it before, so just gotta grind it out. Yeah, the play before it happened, I landed on the wrist a little bit. And then the next play, you know, the touchdown pass, just felt the pop when in the middle of the throw. You know, tried to give it a go, but just couldn't get it done. So, and obviously got the news. So not great. I knew I couldn't. So that was tough. You know, I was excited about how that game was heading. And then, you know, after the game, kind of had a feeling before. Before we got the official news, but it is what it is. Oh, I didn't really have a feeling at that time. I was just going to tape it up and give it a shot. Just couldn't. No, I'm just going to treat it like anything else. You know, you analyze the situation, go through the process of what it's going to take to get back, and you go and do it. That's all you can do.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the National Football League, Amazon Prime, Thursday Night Football. You heard Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit just talking about the devastating injury, the season-ending wrist injury for Cincinnati Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow. And also that audio was courtesy of the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe just expressing his frustration and working so hard to get to this point. And now he's been sidelined with his second season-ending injury in 4 years. To talk more about Joey B's injury and also what's going forward for the Cincinnati Bengals, let's welcome him back to the program. He is the host of the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals Show, giving us great insights on his beloved Cincinnati Bengals, Josh Miller. Hey, Josh, welcome back to the program, my man.
Ed, thank you so much for having me on. It's been a long time, no see, and I wish we could be talking on some happier times, but obviously this is the National Football League, so I'm glad to be on. I appreciate you having me back.
Same here, my man. And as always, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So we're going to talk more about the injury to Joey B in just a moment, but aside from Burrow's injury, what were your takeaways from the Bengals game against the AFC North rival Baltimore Ravens?
I mean, I think this was a game in which the Bengals were going in confident that they could win the game as well as I was. I felt like the Bengals over the past years have been matching up very well, like with the Joe Burrow Bengals versus the Lamar Jackson-led Ravens. It felt like that matchup really favored the Bengals, especially with having Lou Anarumo as your defensive coordinator. Unfortunately, my biggest takeaway, besides the Joe Burrow injury, was the lack of depth and the lack of talent at the secondary and the back half of the defense. I mean, they just got absolutely torched. It looks like almost like they didn't have any idea what they were doing. Felt like Baltimore every third down, it was just an easy catch and run, pick it up. Defense couldn't get off the field. Offense couldn't protect the quarterback worth of anything. And then, unfortunately, with Zach Taylor's play calling, I felt last year took a huge step forward. I feel like this year has taken a massive, massive step back. I felt like he's gone a lot back to the predictability. I felt like, you know, watching the 49ers game where the Bengals went out there and absolutely dominated the 49ers, I thought, okay, we just turned over a new leaf. Unfortunately, it looked like, again, Zach Taylor went back to the predictable play calling, and it led to a lot of bad situations. I mean, before the Joe Burrow injury, the Bengals weren't really getting a whole lot done on offense. They had scored that one touchdown, but throughout the game, I mean, it really just felt like the Bengals were doing nothing of the sorts of moving the ball.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I definitely agree with you, Josh. I mean, what a difference a year makes. Last year's offense with the Bengals, like you said, it was open, full of options. This year's offense so far has been predictable, and a lot of defenses have figured the Bengals offense out. And I want to just talk more about the Bengals offense in their loss to the Baltimore Ravens. Someone who's had a quiet year so far but is expected to get a lot of action now with the injury to Joe Burrow, and that's Joe Mixon. In the loss to the Ravens, he had 16 carries for 69 yards, and he also had a touchdown reception. Just give me your thoughts on Joe's play against the Ravens.
Joe Mixon through the entire year has had a very, very good – has had a very, very good year for what he is and what the age he's at and what we're asking him to do. Unfortunately, we wish that the Bengals could have ran the ball more and more throughout the entire season. I mean, I understand that Zach Taylor's got to use his weapons on the outside, but Joe Mixon has been running the ball very, very well. Last week before the Baltimore Ravens game, he only had 11 carries. Before that, you know, he only had about 20 carries. You know, I would have loved to have seen him get more action before this. Now, obviously, with Jake Browning out at quarterback, he's going to get a lot more action. I think that's going to help the Bengals a little bit, as just being able to control the clock, being able to control the game, and, you know, getting Joe Mixon going and getting him some running and some confidence.
All right, and then I want to go now to the receiving side for a moment. Tanner Hudson, when we talk about Bengals receivers, we talk about Chase Higgins and Boyd. I know Higgins is currently out with an injury, but Tanner Hudson in this game against the Ravens, 4 catches for 49 yards. Just give me your thoughts on Tanner's play against the Ravens.
Well, Tanner Hudson is doing exactly what Tanner Hudson can do. I mean, he can play to his full potential. He's probably getting about 4 or 5 catches, and he's probably getting about 45 to 50 yards. And with this Bengals style of offense, that's pretty much all we can ask for. Unfortunately, we're finding out that the tight end position for the Bengals offense is much more important than we originally thought it was. You go back to the Bengals not re-signing Hayden Hurst. Well, we thought, okay, well, Joe Burrow made C.J. Uzomah. He made Hayden Hurst. He can just do it again with another tight end. Unfortunately, again, you know, these tight ends, they're not doing exactly what we need them to do. Hayden Hurst was able to make a play. He was able to have a 25-yard gain. He was able to have a lot of yards after the catch in which, you know, Joe Burrow was able to dump it off. Unfortunately, you have Tanner Hudson, who is a solid player, and I really do like Tanner Hudson, but, you know, he has a ceiling, and the ceiling's not very high. You know, his ceiling's probably around, you know, a middle-of-the-pack type of tight end, and that's his ceiling. So the Bengals are going to need to address this, and it should have been addressed during free agency. In this game, I got to give it up Tanner. Like I said, he played exactly how he could. And it's unfortunate, like you said, we talk a lot about the receivers whenever we're talking about the Bengals. The fact that we're bringing up Tanner Hudson, you know, is alarming.
All right, and then somebody else that we need to mention in this game is Trenton Irwin. Now, we know Trenton has primarily been playing special teams, with being a return specialist in this game against the Ravens. He had 3 catches for 36 yards. Just give me your thoughts on Trenton's play in this game.
Trenton Irwin, again, is a guy that has been with the Bengals through these past 3 years and has really played out his role. He's been a really good role player for us. He's been somebody that we can count on when a receiver is out. Like in mine right now, T. Higgins, he's been out for a couple of days or a couple of games, and T.I. filled that very well. Unfortunately, it just feels like we aren't getting the ball out to the receivers enough, or the receivers aren't getting open. It's one or the other. You know, it honestly comes back to just offensively with our play calling. It's almost like we're exposing our weaknesses and hiding our strengths, in which it should be separate, or it should be the opposite. And, you know, T.I. is, again, a guy you're going to be able to throw the ball to. You're going to be able to get him open from time to time, and he's going to be able to make, you know, a couple 7-8 yard catches. But, again, just not getting the ball out fast enough. And then, unfortunately, with the Joe Burrow injury, I mean, the Bengals at that point were deflated. I mean, that game was gone by halftime.
All right, and then we mentioned one of the receivers early on the team. That's Tyler Boyd. He only had 3 catches for 22 yards in the game against the Ravens. Just give me your thoughts on Tyler's play against the Ravens.
I feel like Tyler Boyd has had a very frustrating start to the year, and I think it's carried over into the game against the Ravens. You know, it still sticks in my head, the drops that Tyler Boyd keeps having. Now, that is very uncharacteristic-like of Tyler Boyd, especially when the Bengals have multiple guys out on offense. You almost look to Tyler Boyd for that veteran leadership, especially against the Ravens. I mean, he was given the nickname the Ravens Killer for a reason, because that's usually where he's shining the brightest. Unfortunately, he's just had a really frustrating start to the frustrating year, and it seems like he's also frustrated as well. You can see it on his face. You can see it in the team. I think it goes back to his drop against the Texans last week, which would have won the Bengals the game. But, you know, because here's the unfortunate part. He's probably not going to get a third contract, and he knows that. And this is probably his last year, and there's a lot of pressure on him. And in order to get that contract money for next year, you got to perform well, and he's not been performing well. It's almost like he's just too tight. He's not loose enough. He's not getting open, and he's becoming more and more unreliable.
All right, and while let's stay with the receiving side for a moment. He said not too long ago that he's always open, like a 7-11, Jamar Chase. He only had 2 catches in this game, but he did have a touchdown reception. Just give me your thoughts on Jamar and his presence in the game against the Ravens.
So with Jamar Chase saying he's always open, and I understand Jamar Chase is open quite a bit of the time. However, if he's only getting 2 targets, or, you know, he's only getting, you know, single-digit targets, then obviously there's a problem either with the game plan or Jamar Chase isn't actually getting open. With the offensive line being playing as poorly as it has, Joe Burrow's had to get that ball out quick. And it's looking like we're not scheming towards throwing it to Jamar Chase. It's almost like we're trying to hide him away or use him as a decoy. Now, eventually, you know, having Jamar out on the field is massive, because the defense is going to have to deal with it. But now it feels like the Bengals are just using him as a decoy, and they're not getting him open. Or the latter is the option, in which Jamar Chase is not getting open, or he's not running his route hard enough, or they're just – but honestly, I think it comes down to they're not scheming a route for him to get the ball as much. So it's really unfortunate. And like I said with Tyler – you can see the frustration on this team, because I do feel like they think they could be better than what they have shown, but they just can't quite put it together. You go back to the team last year and the team before that, those teams felt like there were some frustrating times, but it felt like they were able to all stick together. This season has felt completely different. It just felt like all of the team and the stars on the team has just been frustrated with the current production of the offense. And that includes Jamar. And that's unfortunate. So he's going to have to have some giant games coming up. If the Bengals want to win some football games and close out the year, on a high note and possibly sneak into the playoffs. But, you know, his performance during the Ravens game was subpar as long as with the rest of the offense. So that's what I would say.
I want to stay just with Jamar for a moment. We know that his quarterback, Mr. Burrow, just got his contract extension during the offseason. What's going on with Jamar and his contract talks, as well as the other receivers with Tyler and T?
Yeah, so the Bengals are going to have quite a predicament coming up this offseason. So Jamar's going to have one more year left on his contract. The unfortunate part is both T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd are both up on their contract. So the Bengals got to make a decision in keeping one of those two, and then knowing down the line you're going to have to pay Jamar Chase top of the league money, you know, number one or number two type of money, and that's what Jamar is going to want, and that's what he deserves. So I understand that. I don't see Jamar Chase taking a pay cut. I don't see T. Higgins taking a pay cut. I've been racking my brain about this and of what they should do in the solution to this predicament. I think what the Bengals are going to end up doing is they're going to end up signing T. Higgins and letting Tyler Boyd walk. I think if the Bengals were going to let T. Higgins go, what they were going to do is they would have traded him by now, because T. Higgins is so high. He has such a high ceiling and such high capital to him that the Bengals could have gotten a lot out of it. So if they let T. Higgins walk at the end of this year, I mean, that's going to be a huge hit, and it's going to be a huge blow. And, you know, you feel bad for T. Higgins, because he came here and he brought us to your Super Bowl, another AFC Championship game, and we just had, you know, couldn't get one for him. So, I mean, that's going to be a big predicament for what the Bengals are going to choose to do in the offseason.
Decisions, and never a dull moment in the NFL, and never a dull moment with the Cincinnati Bengals. And certainly they got, as you said, Josh, they got some issues coming up to pay those wide receivers. And let's move over to the defensive side now. The leading tackler in the game against the Ravens for the Bengals was Jordan Battle. He had 10 tackles. Just give me your thoughts on Jordan and his play.
You know, so with Jordan Battle being the leading tackler, you know, it's bittersweet. It's sweet because Jordan Battle is a rookie. You know, the mistakes that are being made on the back end, he's going to be talented enough and smart enough to eventually learn from those mistakes and be better down the road. The unfortunate part is the fact that he's leading the tackles means that they're getting into the secondary. So that's speaking to the defensive front, and it's speaking to, you know, our inability to cover the pass and our inability to stop the run. The Baltimore Ravens having so many explosive plays really, really shot the Bengals in the foot. They weren't able to capitalize. I really like Jordan Battle. I think he's a great pick. Unfortunately, he's a young kid, and, you know, there's not much in the back end in terms of the safeties that are veteran guys. They do have Nick Scott back there, but Nick Scott has just been, you know, terrible. He's and I don't mean to, you know, throw anybody really terribly under the bus, but if you look at his numbers, his PFF grade, I believe last game was a 33. You know, that's below 50%. That's not only an F, that's an F minus. So, you know, I'd rather have, if they're both going to make the same mistakes, I'd rather have Jordan Battle out there, because at least, you know, there's a higher ceiling with it. I like Jordan Battle. You know, he's playing hard. But again, he's a young guy, he's a young kid, young rookie. So it's going to take a lot of learning from him, a lot of growing pains.
All right, and then a couple of players that made some key plays on the defensive side, Mike Hilton and DJ Turner both had sacks. Just give me your thoughts on Mike and DJ's play in the game.
Mike and DJ, Mike Hilton, you know exactly what you're going to get with Mike Hilton. He's an elite player. He's somebody that should be considered for the Hall of Fame. Towards the end of his career, I do believe he is that good. He's met the world of the secondary. And then DJ Turner, again, just another young buck. He's going out there. And the one thing with DJ, you know, if he's going to make a mistake, he's going to make it 100% with 100% effort, and he's going to go 100%. So it's you know, mental and physical mistakes that, you know, that you can live with. Now, DJ Turner, he's a young kid. He's a rookie, and, you know, with that back end just being so young, which the Bengals decided to do, which I'm not totally against, with that back end being so young, it's just more with the growing pains. Mike Hilton, which is great that he's there. I mean, he's an all-pro corner. I think he's the best slot corner in the NFL. You know exactly what he's going to bring to the table every single Sunday, and that's what I love about him. And being able to use him on the blitz is so important. Unfortunately, it feels like the Bengals have moved away from the blitz and away from bringing pressure. And, you know, it feels like this pass rush has been awful. I mean, when Trey Hendrickson is not out on the field, they can't get to the quarterback. And so bringing Mike Hilton more with the blitz, bringing DJ Turner more with the blitz is going to help out. They're going to need to do that a lot more.
All right. Somebody that's been playing their part in playing their position since he's been a member of the Bengals defense for a while, and that's Trey Hendrickson. He recorded a sack in this game. Just give me your thoughts on Trey and his play.
Trey Hendrickson, again, is a guy kind of like Mike Hilton. You know exactly what he's going to put out there every single Sunday. You know he's going to give 110% effort. He's an animal. He's someone you can count on, especially down the stretch, especially towards the end of the game. He can go out there and make the big play for you. The only problem is he can't do it all himself. He can't be out there every single play. He just can't, you know. With the defensive line, I mean, he's an older guy. It's a hard position to play. And you know, for him to ask him to be your entire pass rush every single play, it's just not going to work out, especially without Sam Hubbard on the other side, who was injured for the game. So Trey Hendrickson, you know, as long as he can stay healthy, our defensive line should be okay. We need him to be healthy and DJ Reader to be healthy. But the defense as a whole, to bring it to a close here, is the defense as a whole just needs to find a way to be better, whether that's mentally and physically. I think their tackling's been terrible, and they need to find a way to pull it together, and you know, just find some pride at the end of the day. You know, this may be a season in which the Bengals don't make the playoffs. I mean, it's not looking good when your star starting quarterback goes down. You got to replace him with Jake Browning. But you got to find a way to build some pride here. You need something to go into the offseason with, you know, that you can still hang your hat on and say, hey, all right, we did this, and we can come back and we can be better at it. But to bring it back to Trey Hendrickson, again, a guy you know you're going to get an animal every single Sunday. So hopefully he can get healthy, because, you know, he hyperextended his knee, so he needs to come back and get back to form.
All right, absolutely. And speaking of trying to get back in.
When it comes to Botox, choose the one you know. Wyler Plastic Surgery. From Baton Rouge to the North Shore, we're a national top 25 Allergan provider with 5 locations to serve you. Book your same-day Botox appointment today at WylerPlasticSurgery.com.
Form, what a difference a year makes. You mentioned about Bengals head coach Zach Taylor. The last 2 years, of course, the year that the Bengals went to the Super Bowl, we saw the offense being very dynamic. And then last year, we saw the Bengals offense being dynamic as well. But this year, we haven't seen it. We just haven't really seen the big plays, or we haven't seen the imagination come to life with this Bengal offense. Just give me your thoughts on Coach Taylor and his approach and what you think he needs to improve on to try to save this season somehow, some way.
You mentioned it. You used to see the dynamic plays of the Bengals offense. They used to be able to roll around the pocket. They were not predictable. They would go under center. They would go shotgun. They'd go pistol. They would move the ball around. They'd move Joe Burrow around. They moved Jamar Chase around. Now it just feels like it's just so predictable. I can tell you when the Bengals are running a wide receiver screen, because it's happening, you know, every 3 plays they're running a wide receiver screen. It's just not working. There's something not there. The creativity isn't there. Now with Zach Taylor, now he's got a real issue on his hand. I mean, we're about to find out how good of a coach Zach Taylor really is, because his star quarterback just went down. The guy that's coming in hasn't played an NFL snap. A starting NFL snap at all in the NFL, you know, so he's got to find a way to get Jake Browning in a position in which Jake Browning can succeed. So what I want to see is imagination. I want to see creativity. The Bengals are, at the end of the day, need to get Jamar Chase more involved. And that is so weird for me to say, considering Jamar Chase is one of the most elite wide receivers in the game, yet we can't get him involved somehow. I think it's been a lack of creativity. I think they've struggled with Joe Burrow not being 100%. at the first part of the year, and they've struggled with Jamar Chase and T. Higgins not being 100%. But at the end of the day, this is the NFL. All teams are injured towards this back half of the year. You know, you got to find a way to get it done. The Bengals have spent too much money on this year in order for this to just kind of be over towards the middle of the season. So they got to find a way to just get back to it. Now, there is still a chance that they can slip into the playoffs, but we got to see a huge change in the offensive scheme.
Yeah, I want to stay just with Coach Taylor for a moment. Do you think his job is safe, or do you think he could be on the hot seat real soon?
Zach Taylor's job is definitely going to be safe. I think if he were to not make the playoffs with Joe Burrow this year, if Joe Burrow was fully healthy and they didn't make the playoffs, I would say that there will be questions about it. But I would definitely say, you know, Zach Taylor, I think the biggest thing that's going to be on the hot seat for Zach Taylor is the play calling. I do think that the Bengals are seriously looking at the lack of offensive efficiency, and they're saying, you know what, Zach, you're great for the team. You're a great coach, great head coach. It's time to move you to more game management and find somebody to do the offensive coordination and to be calling plays. Because, you know, if we can have somebody to call the plays and just focus on that, I think the Bengals might be just that much more efficient. Zach Taylor won't be going anywhere, especially towards the back half of this year. Now, if they go into next year and it's a lot of the same things, then, you know, then we could start asking some questions. But I think Zach Taylor has a 100% safe seat right now.
All right. And speaking of someone that's not going to be going anywhere anytime soon, and that's Joe Burrow. So Joe got rewarded with the contract extension during the offseason, well deserved. And it seems as though the Bengals were destined, as you said, and we've been saying it, destined for greatness for this year. Struggled on the offensive side, couldn't really get things going. And then we talked about the Bengals' impressive win over the 49ers some time ago. And then all of a sudden, you could hear a pin drop when he went down with the wrist injury. Then on the sideline, they showed him warm-ups, throwing a football. He couldn't get a throw in, and they sent him to the locker room area, and it was confirmed done for the year with a wrist injury, tearing a ligament. Give me your thoughts when you find out Mr. Burrow done for the year, and just what was the reaction like from yourself as well as other Bengal fans worldwide?
Well, I mean, absolute heartbreak. I mean, it's just something that you just hate to see, because we've talked about this in the past. Joe Burrow has not just been the quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals. It's almost felt like he's made Cincinnati fall in love with the Bengals again. You know, he needs more than just a player on the field. And, you know, it's our guy. I mean, he's our guy. He's somebody that, you know, we really do rely on. And he is so beloved in the city. I haven't seen anything like it. I mean, you know, there's not a single person in Cincinnati that wouldn't say, we love having Joe Burrow as our quarterback. So to watch that happen, when I first saw it happen live, I thought he sprained his wrist, and I thought, all right, well, we're going to lose this game. I didn't think torn ligament. And then when he went to go throw the ball on the sideline, they show him and he couldn't throw it. And then, you know, you got to start thinking, okay, this is probably a 2-3 game, injury. And then just like that, he's out for the year. It really crushes you. I mean, it's just deflating. And, you know, when you rewind it back to the beginning of the year, in the first couple of games when Joe Burrow had his calf injury, and they started out 0-2, you know, this 0-2 felt really very different than last year's 0-2. You could feel the frustration with the team already. You can see, I've never seen Joe Burrow so frustrated with not only his injury, but you can see he's frustrated with the offense too. You see the frustration mounting, you just feel for him, and, you know, he's getting asked to do a lot. And I think they put a lot on his plate, and, you know, it's well-deserved. He's got a lot of responsibility. He does very well with that responsibility, but I think right now it's too much. you know, he just signed that big deal, so now he's got to go out and perform. You know, you, it's almost like that pressure is coming to him. And, you know, Joe Burrow is ice cold. I mean, he is great. He's been to the Super Bowl once. He went back to the AFC Championship again. It was 2 minutes away from winning it again. But, you know, you could feel the frustration. You could feel almost as if the pressure is coming down on him a little too hard. And he'll get it figured out. I'm not worried about that coming up with the next year. But, you know, the Bengals are going to have to find a way to help him in more ways than just Ja'Marr Chase. You know, they're going to have to. They're going to have to find offensive line help. You know, while the Bengals went out and spent the most money on the offensive line out of, I believe, any team, I think they were third or fourth in most in spending on the offensive line, and then their offensive line is ranked 29th in the NFL. I mean, that's awful. Joe Burrow has been hit more times than Andrew Luck has at this point in his career. I mean, that's a scary stat. You know, it's something you consider, especially with Joe Burrow's injuries that he's had. I mean, it added up. I mean, you know, he got his leg torn apart his rookie year. He had problems with his calf, had to get surgery at the end of their run against the Super Bowl, and then now he's got a torn ligament in his hand. So you just hope that those injuries don't keep mounting up, and you hope that he can come back and eventually the Bengals can get it together. But I do think that this was a five-alarm fire in the Bengals front office that they need to figure out a way to make this better and to find a way to get Burrow ready for a run to the Super Bowl, whether it's, you know, next year or the year after.
It's interesting. It's very alarming, Josh. I mean, he's had two season-ending injuries in 4 years, and that's very alarming. And you mentioned about Andrew Luck, and we know what punishment he took during his time with the Indianapolis Colts. Orlando Brown, someone who's had experience playing with the Kansas City Chiefs, is a Super Bowl champion. You mentioned about the other offensive linemen that the Bengals went to go get in recent years with Alex Kappa, Ted Karras, Jonah Williams. Jonah has had his injuries as well. But what's going on with the offensive line? Are they having – is there kind of like a chemistry going on with Burrow? Are they having problems? Are they connecting with him? What's going on with – as far as the offensive line and Burrow not being able to get the protection and having these injuries?
I think you nailed it on the head. I think it's a mixture of a lot of things. I think it has to do with their – the chemistry up front is just not there. You know, when the Bengals had a bad offensive line, you could still feel that they could have movement and offensive efficiency. There's just something missing. They're not getting their protection. They're getting blown off the ball. You know, the running game's been decent, but they don't go enough to it. You know, and then I think a lot of it has to do with the Bengals not being creative on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, Joe Burrow is getting killed back there because the defense can predict it and they can just send the house. So it's a mix of a lot of things. And you might have to start looking towards the coach. Yeah, Frank Pollock, somebody that was championed as he should be the new offensive line coach for the Bengals. But clearly something's not working out. And it's unfortunate because I like Frank Pollock, but it looks like it's just we're going to have to make a change. Something has to change. You know, it also goes to underperformance. I mean, Ted Karras has had a terrible year. Alex Kappa has been getting blown off the ball every time I watch him. Ted Karras, you know, some days he's just a turnstile. Orlando Brown, you know, he's good, not great. I mean, he's supposed to be great. And Jonah Williams, again, good, not great. They can't put it together, and with the money that they're spending, they should be top five in the NFL. And here's the thing, they don't need to be. They don't need to be top five in the NFL. They need to be the 10 to 20 range. If they can be in the 10 to 20 range, I mean, this Bengals team is far better, but they got to find the Bengals front office has got to find out a solution, and a solution fast here, because it's going to keep leading to Joe Burrow getting hit and getting hurt. And, you know, if that happens, then – you know, you just wasted your multi-million dollar asset, and you wasted this face of the franchise that could have easily won you a Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're right about that. They've got to protect their most precious asset on that team. And, you know, the NFL is a league filled with quarterbacks. They definitely have to protect Joe before it could be a similar Andrew Luck situation where he could have an early retirement. All right, you know, let's talk now about the matchup that the Bengals have next against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So we know about the Steelers situation. Matt Canada fired, no longer the offensive coordinator, so Mike Tomlin. We know about the model of consistency with the Pittsburgh Steelers in that organization. So I want to ask you, I want to start off with the Bengals defense for a moment. The Steelers have two good running backs with Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren, and, of course, they have their quarterback, Kenny Pickett. What do you think are going to be the keys to victory for the Bengals defense to stop the Steelers offense?
It's going to start with making Kenny Pickett as uncomfortable as possible. So that is going to include, you know, it's going to be including, you know, bringing a lot of pressure. It's going to be putting him in uncomfortable situations. It's going to be attacking the ball. It's not going to be sitting back. You can also throw in, you got to be able to disguise this defense. You got to find a way to make him think twice before he throws that ball. And then on the running game, you just got to keep him behind. You just got to keep him behind the sticks. You know, you got to find a way to hold Najee Harris down. The Bengals over the past couple of years have been able to handle the Pittsburgh Steelers pretty well. But now coming up, you know, this is an entirely different ball game. You know, now with Joe Burrow out, so the Bengals are going to have to come out. The defense is probably going to have to go out and win this game. You're going to need a couple of turnovers. You're going to need to flip the field. It's going to be a challenging game, and we're going to really see what the Bengals are really made of.
All right, let's switch over to the other side now. So we talked about Joe Burrow done for the season with the wrist injury, and in comes quarterback Jake Browning. So we've mentioned about Browning, we talked about Mixon, and we talked about Chase and the receivers. But Pittsburgh's defense, they're no slouches. And, of course, they have T.J. Watt on the defensive line. And, of course, we know Cincinnati's offensive line is not the best. What do you think are going to be the keys to victory for Cincinnati to get points on Pittsburgh's defense?
If for the Cincinnati Bengals offense is going to be shrink the game, run the ball, control the clock, slow and steady, and make things easy for Jake Browning. They got to find a way to make it easy for him so that way he can start to get into a rhythm, start to get a good feel for the game. They're going to have to squeeze that ball. They're going to have to squeeze the game completely. You know, they're going to have to take the air out of the game. They're just going to have to run the ball and continually get first downs and safe plays. And while the Steelers' defense is great, I do think it's one of the best in the NFL. They've been playing lights out. With the Bengals, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to keep them out on the field for 10, 12, 14 play drives in order to tire them out. Then eventually you deliver a knockout punch. It's going to be an ugly game. Both offenses are not very good. And Pittsburgh just lost their offensive coordinator. And, you know, I mean, Matt Canada wasn't exactly the answer back there on offense, but Kenny Pickett has also not been very successful this year as well. So, I mean, it's really going to be a sloppy game. If you're a betting man, I take the under. But it's going to take a full team effort for the Bengals to come out with the win on this one.
All right, so that settles it. That's going to be week 12 matchup between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And again, we're talking to Josh Miller from the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals show. Again, Josh, thank you so much, as always, for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Just tell everybody what's going on over at the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals show.
Ed, my friend, it is always a great time coming on your show. I really appreciate talking to you again. You can find me all over the place. You can find me on Twitter at the Back Row Bengals. At Back Row Bengals on Twitter. You can find my podcast anywhere you find podcasts, the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals Show.
Thanksgiving is a holiday that's celebrated all over the world in different ways. People have their twist on how they celebrate the holiday, and I know the state of Ohio, specifically the city of Cincinnati, is no exception to the rules. I want to ask you, what's Thanksgiving like and how is it celebrated in Cincinnati?
In Cincinnati, you know, it's very, in my experience, it's very similar to traditional Thanksgiving. I'll tell you, there's probably a lot more of the adult soda pops being passed around in Ohio. I'll tell you that, and from personal experience and going to some of my friends' Thanksgiving. So that's going to be a big one. And then the incorporation of Geta and the incorporation of some Skyline chili dip as well. So I think with those two additions, other than that, it's a pretty normal Thanksgiving over in Ohio.
All right, I got to ask you now, like, what's on the menu?
Over at the Miller's for Thanksgiving, we're going to have a solid turkey. We're going to have our classic stuffing, green bean casserole, which is my favorite. And then we're going to have dinner rolls, and we're going to have pumpkin martinis. Now, this is, for those of you who are cocktail people at home, this is Bailey's pumpkin vodka and vanilla vodka all at one. The pumpkin martini is delicious, so I'll definitely give it a try if you're a drinking person. And other than that, what else we're having is a good times around good family and good friends. And I appreciate you having me on for Ed, and I hope you have a great Thanksgiving as well, sir.
Same here. You do the same as well. Wow, pumpkin martini, something interesting. I like that. And again, Josh, tell everybody where they can find you on social media as well as the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals show.
Absolutely. You can find me on Twitter at Back Row Bengals, and you can find my podcast anywhere you find podcasts. That is the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals show.
Awesome. You heard it from him. He's Josh Miller. Josh, as always, again, thank you so much, my man, and happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. And if ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate you talking to you, Ed. I'm thankful for you and your show, and have a great Thanksgiving, sir.
Thank you. Same here, man. Thankful for you as well. And we'll be back with more right after this.
To the outside. Reaching down, making the grab, and taking it to the end zone.
Looks like they're attacking these linebackers, which we did the same thing here with Boyd to the linebacker, Roquan Smith. Slows him down just enough for Joe Burrow to, again, find that matchup. The back against the linebacker.
Right hand, looked like a sleeve or whatever. Something was going on. They took it down, but clearly you got some sort of an issue here, and we'll get to the bottom of it
and
eventually.
Not only that, this is the play before where Clowney hits him and drives him to the ground.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, you work so hard for seasons and moments like these. So whenever you get hurt and it ends it early, it's tough to handle. But you know, that's part of the game. Been through it before, so just got to grind it out. Yeah, the play before it happened, I landed on the wrist a little bit, and then the next play, you know, the touchdown pass just felt the pop when. In the middle of the throw, you know, tried to give it a go, but just couldn't get it done. So, and obviously got the news. So not great. I knew I couldn't. So that was tough. You know, I was excited about how that game was heading, and then, you know, after the game, kind of had a feeling before we got the official news, but. Is what it is. Oh, I didn't really have a feeling at that time. I was just going to tape it up and give it a shot. Just couldn't. No, I'm just going to treat it like anything else. You know, you analyze the situation, go through the process of what it's going to take to get back, and you go and do it. That's all you can do.
I'm Greg Rome of Talbert, Carmouche, and Marcello, and I'm a local Baton Rouge attorney. This city's my home, and I know this community, so I know how to fight for my clients. For a free consultation, call 225-240-1948.
Responsible attorney, John Carmouche, Baton Rouge, LA 2315063.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now you can save on Cox Internet by adding Cox Mobile. So you can do everything you want, everywhere you want. Stream the big game with fiber-powered speeds at home. Or capture it courtside on your phone with unbeatable 5G reliability on the go. so you can do more without spending more. Save on Cox Internet when you add Cox Mobile. Learn more at cox.com/internet. Not all services and features available everywhere. Other restrictions apply. Now you'll save on Cox Internet when you add Cox Mobile. Enjoy fast speeds at home and on the go, so you can do more without spending more. Learn more at cox.com/internet. Not all services and features available everywhere. Other restrictions apply.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. Once again, a big special thank you to Josh Miller, host of the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals Show. Again, a big special thank you to Josh for appearing on the program. Until next time, everybody, remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script and have a happy Thanksgiving.
Black Friday deals are happening at Pep Boys for 1 week only. Buy two tires and get two free instantly on select Kumho, Cooper, and more. Make an appointment at PepBoys.com. Offer valid through November 27th. Requires installation and additional fees. See store for details or visit PepBoys.com to learn more. This holiday season at Pep Boys, buy three, get the fourth free instantly on select tires. Make an appointment at PepBoys.com. Offer valid through November 30th. Requires installation and additional fees. See store for details or visit PepBoys.com to learn more.
There's a Honda for every holiday adventure. Whether it's a ski trip in an available all-wheel drive Pilot, delivering presents in a rugged Passport, or hauling a few toys for yourself in a powerful Ridgeline. Find your new Honda during Happy Honda Days. For a limited time, well-qualified buyers can get a 2.9% APR on a 2023 Honda Passport, a 3.9% APR on a 2024 Pilot, and a 0.9% APR on a 2023 Ridgeline.
For more details, contact your Louisiana Honda dealer today.
See dealer for financing details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.